This is the Hoboken Grace Podcast. Whether you're in the car or enjoying a walk, we hope you're having a great day. Just like every weekly conversation, we hope today's message deepens your relationship with God and builds into your life in a helpful way. For access to our full podcast library, visit hobokengrace.com or our app.
All right, well, good morning, and again, welcome. We have so much to celebrate as we come together today. Did you guys know we had 1,100 people inside of this space last weekend? How incredible is that? We had, I believe we had 164 kids. That's a lot of kids. I want to celebrate the Grace Kids team. What an amazing job they did last week. I know some of you are in here. Just the team as a whole, and I just want to remind you again, we talked about last week, grand opening on September 17th, and if you haven't already filled out your investment invite card, make sure that you do that. We will have them for you on your way out if you didn't get one last week, but one of the things that we're doing is that we are praying for and sharing our story with and inviting at least three people to join us on the 17th and for them to be part of that day. You can invite them to come before then, but we want everybody to be able to come together on the 17th for that grand opening. And as we come together today, again, we have so much to celebrate, but there's also one thing that I want to address because there's this thing that I keep hearing. And I've heard it from a couple different places. I heard my kids say it. I've heard a couple of our team members say it. I heard a staff member say it. And I just want to talk to this because I think it's actually probably more important than we think. There's this phrase that I've been hearing, and people will say, oh, we're going to the new church. It's going to be at the new church. Now, here's why I want to talk about this. And many of you know exactly where I'm going with this because I've talked about it frequently over the last couple of years. But one of the things that's really, really, really important is that we understand that this space is not a church. This building is not a church. And so when we talk about this space, one of the things that I've challenged our staff with is that we're never going to call it a church because the church is never a building. And one of the things that God has taught us that's unique about what Jesus made possible. Don't miss this. This isn't just, this is kind of important as far as how we look at. No, this is actually one of the really significant things that Jesus made possible is that the Holy Spirit no longer dwells in a static location, but that now the temple moves. We talked about this a couple months ago. Let me take you back to this passage. Listen to what it says in Ephesians chapter 2. It says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens. He's talking about all that Jesus has done for them. He says, as a result, you're no longer separated from the reality of who God is and a relationship with God. He says, but now you're fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. And then he says this, listen, he says, in him, the whole building, he's not talking about a physical building, he's talking about the church as it's coming together. He says, in him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple. The temple is not a place, it's not a physical reality. No, it is now a group of people built together to become, and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This is not a church. This is the church. We are the church, the people of God pursuing him and stepping into a relationship with him. That is the church. And it is actually really important that we maintain that, not just in the way that we think, but in the way that we talk. Because we want to make sure that our kids understand that. We want to make sure that the people around us understand that. One of the most amazing things that Jesus made possible is that the temple moves. The temple moves, it's static, and that collectively we carry the reality of the Holy Spirit to the world around us. And so I've challenged our staff. We're not going to call this the church. Where are we having a meeting? We're not going to call it that. We're just going to call it 409. Some of you are like, 409? Why 409? It's 409 14th Street. And we've met at Hoboken Grace, we've met in a lot of different spaces. And we've always just used the first three numbers of whatever the space was. So we used to meet at 301 Garden Street, and then we had our offices at 720. And if you've talked to staff members, you've heard us talk about this. We're going to be at 503. That was 503 3rd Street. And we've just, this is the way it's always been. We're going to continue to do that because we don't want this to be called the church. So we're just gonna say, oh, we're gonna be at 409. If you have trouble remembering, just think cleaning products. And then we're gonna be at 409. Why? Because it's important that we communicate, and language matters. It's important that we communicate, and you know, the people are the church. This is not the church. This is a place where the church gathers, and this is a tool that we as a church get to use to impact our community. But this is not the church. The other thing that I want to call out in that statement, and that I want to make sure of as we move through this process of moving into this location, is that we understand that this isn't a new church. It's the same church. It's the same church. And we have the same mission. And the same things that drove us before continue to drive us today. Hoboken Grace exists too. There we go. That's it. Help people find their way back to God. It has been that for a very long time. It actually hasn't been that for 15 years. I think it's been 14. We changed it in year two. But that's what we're driven by. Everything we do is driven by that. We want every decision that we make to be driven by how do we help people find their way back to God. Acts 17:27 says his purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way towards him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. It is not a new church. It's the same church, same mission, different location. It's critical that we don't allow this to change us. And so even as we walk through these next couple of weeks, I want to take us back to what's guided us. I want to make sure that we reestablish that foundation. I want to talk about what has been core to who we are and how it is that we operate. We call these our core values, but they're really things that are just built into how we see God leading and guiding and directing us, and things that have helped us to navigate this journey together in the past and must continue to help us navigate this journey as we move forward. Our first core value is in our name. Our first core value is grace. Grace. At the very center of God's story with man, we find grace. By grace, God pursues those who have walked away. Every piece of this journey for us is grace. It's not that you find salvation through grace and then you operate outside of it. No, everything is grace. By grace, God pursues those who've walked away, rescues those who deserve to die, frees those who live as slaves, and will transform those who cannot change. Even our growth is based on grace. Every move we make is motivated by his grace. Every message we share is saturated by his grace. Ephesians 2:7 says this. He says, all of this is so that God can point to us in future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God says, listen, in the future, when I point back to this part of the story, you know what it features? Grace. You know what this part of the story was meant to help you understand about me? Grace. It's the whole point. It's what I want for you to know about me better than anything else. And as we move forward, that has to continue to direct us. It has to continue to be core, not just to the messages that we share, but how we engage one another, that we interact with one another in grace, that we're constantly demonstrating grace to one another. We are, as we walk into this space, and this is one of the things that I'm nervous about with this space, because the team did a really good job with this space. One of the things that I'm nervous about is that we'll begin to think about this as a professional organization or a corporation. We're not. We're a church. And the people who greeted you this morning are family members who are giving of their time and energy to serve you. And the people who are taking care of our kids right now are family members who are giving of their time and energy to serve you. This is not a professional organization. This is not a corporation. This is a church. It's a family of people who are growing together, helping one another, serving one another as best as we possibly can. And in that, we know we're going to make mistakes, but we have what? Grace. It's Scripture says that love covers a multitude of sins. And the reality that, hey, we know. There's going to be times when we fall short, that we struggle, we don't get it right. But we have grace. And we're family. And I've seen it happen when churches move into spaces like this where all of a sudden it's a professional organization and I deserve to be served this way, or it needs to be this, it needs to be, and all of a sudden grace leaves. This is a church. You didn't pay to be here today. I've thought about charging you. You didn't pay them to watch your kids. We had a security guard once, and he every week he'd be like, "Why do you let them come for free? I don't understand why you let them come for free." Some of you are like, "Yeah, but I give." So, well, if you give so you can get something, let me let you know about two things. One, if you give so you can get something, your gift is no longer tax deductible. And number two, and this is the most significant thing that Scripture teaches, what you get is all the reward you get. We don't serve so we can get something from someone. We don't give so we can get something. No, we serve and we give to worship. In response to what's been done for us. We don't do anything that we do, and this is so important. I'm working on a conversation that's just about this, but I'm going to give it away too early. I do this all the time. But listen, nothing that we do has to do with what's to come. We look forward to what's to come. We look forward to what God's going to do. We look forward to how God's going to work. But nothing that we do has to do with what's to come. It has everything to do with what's been done. It's worship. And a church is a group of people coming together to worship and utilize our gifts in all sorts of different ways as best as we possibly can, and in that to demonstrate phenomenal grace to one another, to celebrate one another's gifts. One of the things that I have said for years to those who walk up on this stage is, listen, you don't have to be nervous. They're not critiquing you. They're cheering for you. They're not critiquing you. They're cheering for you. That's been a huge part of Hoboken Grace. We celebrate one another's gifts. And whether you're greeting or whether you're setting up, we celebrate your gifts. And we want to build into one another. We want to encourage one another in that. When we see opportunities to help someone grow, we want to step into that. But we know all of us have to grow. It's not going to be perfect. But in grace, we love each other and help one another get better and better and better at what it is that God's called us to do and to be. And so as we move forward together, it's important in every area. This is not a group of critics. This is a church. I've been a part of churches like that. Maybe you've been a part of churches like that. Sunday afternoon was critic time. It was the evaluation time. Sit down for lunch. Well, I think so and so, and I think they should have left. I don't know about what they were. No. If there's something that needs to be addressed, talk to them. Or you can join the team and help fix it. But that's not how we operate. You don't have the right to have an opinion about how someone else uses their gift to serve. You have a right as a brother and sister and a responsibility as a brother and sister to help them grow, to cheer for them, encourage them, and to be able to address things that need to be addressed. We're a church. And it's critical that we continue to be shaped by and to move in grace. This, to me, is so overwhelming. The only way the world around us will see the reality of God's grace is in our demonstration of it to one another. We're the body of Christ. It's an incredible responsibility and an incredible opportunity. It must continue to shape us. From the beginning, we've also followed in the example of Jesus. And so we valued the idea of incarnation. Separation was not acceptable to our Heavenly Father. In his mission of building his family, he became one of us. As his body, we must do the same. We must become the people groups to which we've been sent. One of the most amazing things about Jesus is that he didn't try to reach you from a distance. He became one of us. He stepped into our story. He experienced our struggle. He knows what it is to be tempted in the way that we've been tempted. He doesn't try to reach us from a distance. He becomes one of us. I love how this space gives me the opportunity to do that because I'm no longer at a distance from you either. And some of you on the first few rows are trying to get comfortable with this. It's very interesting. I mean, we've got a lot to be able to learn as we continue in this space. But one of the things that I experienced last week is at 301, the stage was so big and I was so far away that most people in the audience, they would lean forward. Well, now you're so close to me. Last week, everybody's like, whoa. And they're leaning back. And even today, I was like, what if I sit on a stool? Will it help, like, pull it? But we're so close. And some of you are very uncomfortable with that because you know I can see you. I can see you. And I'm trying to figure out what to do with that as well. And last week, after the first service, Anthony said to Sarah, he said, I can't be on my phone during service anymore. Which I thought, why was he on his phone during his service anyway? But as Jesus steps into our lives, he doesn't come to us from a distance. He says, no, I became one of you. I know what it is. And one of the most amazing things about what Jesus made possible is that when he gives his life on that cross, his spirit now dwells with us. The whole point of it, the whole purpose of it was intimacy. The whole point of it was for him to be with us. It was not okay for him to be separate from you, and he gave his son to change it. To be with us. And from the beginning, we've sought to do the same inside of our community. Paul talks about this in his own life in 1 Corinthians 9. He's talking about how he's trying to reach those around him and how he's imitating Christ in this idea of incarnation. He says, when I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who follow Jewish law, I too lived under that law, even though I'm not subject to the law. I did this so that I could bring to Christ those who are under the law. When I'm with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from that law so I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. When I'm with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. And that's critical for us. One of the things that can happen when you have a space like this is that this can become a space to escape from the community. That's not what this is. This is not a place for us to escape from our community. This is a place from which we mobilize into the community. And there have been some questions asked about what's going to happen in the space. And one of the questions was, you know, are all of our dinner groups going to meet inside of 409 now? No, they're not. Why? Because we don't want you here. We want to be out there. Are all of the connection events going to take place inside the new space? No. No, they're not. Why? Because we want to be out there. This is a space from which we mobilize into the community. And we want to use this space as much as possible to be more a part of our community, not to be apart from our community. That's why we built it the way we built it, so it can be utilized by as many organizations for as many different things as possible. I love how that has come to being. This is not my favorite space of this building, by the way. My favorite space is right below us. I don't know if you've seen the elementary space or the vibe space on Thursdays. That space is so flexible. It's amazing. Why? Because we want to be in the community. This question was asked to me before we started our church, and I've asked it to our church many times over the years. If Hoboken Grace were to close its doors, who would know and who would care? If we were to decide tomorrow that we're shutting down, we're done, it's good, we're finished, who would know and who would care? If the only people who would know and the only people who would be impacted by it are the people who are in this room, then we have failed. This is not about us escaping from the community. It's about a place from which we mobilize into it for us to become more a part of the community, for us to be able to love and impact more than ever before. We've been guided by the example of Jesus and incarnation, and then finally, we've understood that we've been sent. Our God is consistently and constantly on mission to seek and to save the lost. To partner with him in this is to be sent. We have been commissioned to impact a specific group of people. God does not commission people for a career. God has not commissioned you for a career. He has given you a career because you have been commissioned for a group of people. We have been sent, commissioned to impact people. 2 Corinthians 5 says this. It says, "And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to himself." That's the task you've been given. Say, what is the task that God has given me? The task that you've been given is to reconcile people back to him. Your neighbor, you've been given the task of reconciling them back to God. Jesus has already made it possible. They just don't know it. Everything that needs to be done has been done. They just don't know it. This is your task. Say, what is my task in life? This is your task. He doesn't leave it vague. There's not a question mark. You don't have to spend hours pondering it. He gives it to you. This is your task, reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. He's already done everything that needs to be done. It's already done. No longer counting people's sins against them. Most of us don't believe that. Your neighbor, your coworker, they definitely don't believe that. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ and we plead, come back to God. This is your task. And you are not a mistake in this. And where you are is not a mistake in this. And the people who work with you are not a mistake in this. And your neighbors, your coworkers, your family members, they're not a mistake in this. And neither is your story. As a matter of fact, God has given you the exact story that the people around you need to hear. It's not a mistake. And before the whole story started, he planned to do this. And to do this in your life and to use you to be a part of it. Stop believing the lie that you don't matter. God doesn't create things that don't matter. All of it matters in the story. We have to live our lives as those who've been sent. And to be able to walk into our workplaces and the unique places that God has placed us. Carry that story. And don't be overwhelmed by that. So often I tell people, you know, my prayer for you, and this is true, my prayer for every single one of you, and next week we have a baptism here at Hoboken Grace. We have no idea how we're going to do that. No idea. Like, we don't. We have some ideas. We found out that the stage probably can hold the baptistry. That's not a great phrase, but we think so. We'll see. But as one of the things that I say over and over, and my prayer for you, my prayer for each and every one of you, is that one day you would be on stage for one of those baptisms because of how you have shared your story with someone else. and how God has used that story for them to give their life to Christ, for them to take that step. That's my prayer for every single one of you. And I'll say that to people, and they'll say, but I don't really know what to share, and I don't know. This, I love this. Jesus did something amazing with his followers as he called them to this, and as he gave them the mission. He used this very specific word, and he uses it over and over and over again. He says, you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. I love that word because, listen to me, a witness can only share what they have seen or experienced. If they share something that they haven't personally seen or experienced, it's inadmissible because it's hearsay. And I think a lot of us, when Jesus steps in and says, listen, you've been sent, I want you to take this to the world, you think Jesus is stepping in and saying, you're going to be my theologians. And you say, well, I'm not very good at that. Well, that's not what he actually called you to be. He called you to be a witness. A witness only shares their story. That's all you have to be responsible with. I'm sharing my story. I'm a witness to the reality of what Jesus has done in my life. We used to have missions trips that came in when we were first starting Hoboken Grace to help us with impacting our community. And I used to tell them, listen, as you're out there, feel free to be a witness. Just share what you have seen or experienced God do in your life. And then I would say this, and if you haven't seen God do anything in your life, please don't talk. Because I've seen the most damage done when people start sharing a theory even though they haven't experienced God. It's not about sharing a theory. It's not about being a theologian. It's about being a witness. And we can grow in that. As a matter of fact, as we move through the next month, we're going to be talking about how do we share that story well? How is it that God calls us to be able to identify certain aspects that we share inside of our story and what it is that we've experienced? We're going to grow in that. It's important that we grow in that. But this isn't something God calls you to a couple years after you step into a relationship with him. This is something he calls you to the moment you step into a relationship with him. You're going to be my witnesses. Take the story to the world. And listen, it matters. It matters. All of you are here today because someone was a witness to you. And your eternity is different because of it. Not just your life, not just a couple years. Your eternity is different because of it. It matters. It matters. We have been sent. And it's critical that, again, we come together and we get to celebrate together, encourage one another. Why? So that we can go better. So that we can step into the reality that we've been sent better. And I want to take a second here to talk to some of you, because you're here exploring faith and you hear us talking about these things. I want you to know something. This isn't for good people. This is for broken people who've experienced the grace of Jesus. And that's available to you. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, or what you've done. It's for broken people who've experienced the grace of Jesus. And I want you to know, everything that we're talking about today, you can be part of that. God wants for you to experience it. He wants for you to know him this way. He wants for you to know his grace. He wants you to experience the intimacy that he gave his life to have with you. He wants you to experience the significance of being on mission with him and understanding that you matter. And I want to invite you today, if you haven't before, to have a conversation with him and say, God, if this is true, I want to know you in that way. I want to experience that grace. God has given us an unbelievable tool. But this is not the church, and we are not a new church. This is a church that God has been using for years inside of our community. We have the same mission, guided by the same values, to be able to live out who it is that God created us to be at this time in this place.
Will you once again commit to be that church? Will we once again, as we enter into this next phase, commit to be that church? Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you for all that we have to celebrate today. I thank you for the unique journey ahead of us. I thank you for how you have so faithfully used us in the past. I just pray that as we continue down this journey, that we would not depart from that we would continue to be driven by this mission of helping people find their way back to you, that we would be shaped by your grace, that it would impact every aspect of what it is that we do, and that we truly would be able to demonstrate that to the world around us, that we would become more and more a part of our community so that your love, your joy, your peace, your grace would be known. Father, I pray that we'd understand the significance to which you've called us, that we would step into our role as missionaries, that we'd step into the reality of how we've been sent. In Jesus' name, amen.